Matthew chapter 24, as we study the book of Matthew in a dispensation view, we're in lesson 70 today, and we're starting with a chapter here that for some people it's hard to understand. The next two chapters, there's some things going on in the chapter that you know, when you look at them, like, is it going on today? It looks like it's lining up with what's going on. But Matthew chapter 24, as we read last week, we left off with verses 37, 38, 39 of Matthew 23, and I want to read that to you. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy chickens together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left desolate. Left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Chapter 24. You see where he said that? After all the things that we went over in chapter 23 about he's showing, the Lord Jesus Christ was showing who the true guys were and who the false guys were. He looks at the leaders and says, he says in verse 38, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Whose house was it supposed to be to begin with? God's. He says, my temple, my house, we're Matthew 23, verse 20, 38, 39, before we get to, he told us before, or told the Israelites, that my house was a house of prayer. That's what that temple was supposed to be, for them to come there and all. But he turns in Matthew 23, at the end of it, he says, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. He's talking about the religious leaders there. He's not talking to the little flock. And he's definitely not talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to the little flock there. Now look at chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise upon against nations, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of happiness. No. Sorrow, isn't it? As you know, so when you get back up there to verse 1 and 2, Jesus went out of the temple, and the apostate nation Israel, what he's doing, he's pronouncing judgment on them. That apostate nation. Now, as you look at your timeline up here, it actually, this is the nation Israel. It should have been true nation Israel. Not the apostate nation. You don't want to understand what apostasy is. You depart from the faith. You depart from the truth. Down here is the Gentiles. This is all the nations down here. If you wasn't part of Israel, you was what? A Gentile. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came, they refused him as their Messiah, their king. That's what Matthew is portraying Jesus Christ as, their king. So when he goes to the leaders and try to reason with them, if you will, and they always come to him and try to trick him, don't they? And question him and all. But he turns a question on a question. But when he says this, your house is left to you, he's talking to that religious leaders that was supposed to take the nation Israel and lead them the right way. But you got to remember, as we looked last week, those false guys, they tracked their beliefs and their doctrines back to Babylon. And that's where they get their religious rites and call me father and all that stuff. You know, that's what's going on. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Hold your finger in Matthew and go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Verse 50 says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent." Verse 50 says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." You know when this is taking place, right? The crucifixion. He just gave up the ghost. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did what? Rent." Now, where was that veil rent from? From the top to the bottom. No man got up there and rented that. That's another reason why he's showing the world, showing that religious system, hey, I'm not there. You know, he's left that place. And one of the things you got to go back to Matthew 24, one of the things you got to look in verse 1 is this. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple." That probably was a marvelous sight to see, wasn't it? How grand this big old temple was and all. And the disciples, there's one in particular, if you think about it, was very impressed with the buildings, the temple, that the Lord has now departed from. And what it is, they, you know, when I'm not going to get into that right now, but when you call somebody Master and Lord, that's the two titles they've usually called Jesus Christ. You know, one disciples never did call him Lord. It was Judas. He always called him Master. So he didn't recognize him as Lord, King, but Master. But who was Judas? You know, Judas was Satan. So he was intrigued with building. He was intrigued with big things. He was intrigued with money and stuff. You know, and then once again, there's nothing wrong with having a building. Lord knows how much I pray to have our own building. But, you know, I'm not going to be fixated on that. On the fact that I'm thankful for where we meet. You know, be thankful we could meet up under a tree somewhere. Be just the same. This was Israel's problem about the buildings. We saw that last week. It was not the temple, it was the gifts that was going on the altars. Remember, we studied that out and all. But Israel's problem was, it's always about the pomp and circumstances. Look at me, I'm holier than thou. I walk through the marketplace, they call me rabbi, that type of thing. That still goes on today if you think about it, don't it? You know, everybody wants to be lifted up. Look at me, look what I'm doing. You know, I don't like the word I. I try not to use it. I'd rather use we or us. I is a middle letter of what? Sin. It's also a middle letter of pride. It's also a middle letter of Lucifer. So when you think about yourself and look what I'm doing, it can lift you up. It can lift you up in any circumstance, can it? Work, play, you know, church, anything. It's they was looking at the outer glory. Hosea chapter 8.
You said that was sin, Lucifer, what was the other
one? Pride. Before you go to, I'm going to show you, go to Mark 13 real quick. Mark 13. And get Hosea 8. Mark 13 and Hosea chapter 8. Chapter 8. Mark 13:1. I need to turn there myself, don't I? Mark 13:1. And this is the same account of what Matthew was sharing. "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou this great building? There shall not be one there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. You see what that guy said? Look at these stones. You know, we recently visited the city of Cleveland Friday night, and walking down some of those streets and see the big stone buildings. And you've been around a lot of places like that, and you're like, wow, these places are big and huge and old. You know, you can marvel at these buildings. But Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8, verse 14. Verse 13 says, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of my offering and eat it. But the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel has forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. You see what Israel did? Mm-hmm. Who did they forsake? They forsook the maker, God. Mm-hmm. And they went on and built buildings. See what religion does? Go back to Matthew. One of the most dangerous things is you can get involved in building programs. Many of us have, haven't we, in our religious life, and pumping everything we had into it. For what? You know, just to say, look what we done. The Lord tells the disciples here that they do not see what's going on. And the Lord further states he's going to destroy the whole building brick by brick, and that's literally. That's not his body. A lot of people preaches and stuff that it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually, how he got destroyed and all. Malachi, go to Malachi chapter 3 and Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah 26 and Micah, excuse me, Micah, M-I-C. M-I-C.
Malachi or Micah?
Micah. Micah chapter 3. It's right after Jonah. Micah chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. What's God going to do to Jerusalem? Plow it. So would that mean any stones going to be there?
No.
You ever plowed a field? What happens to the stones that they're there?
They get kicked up.
They get kicked up and you leave them there?
No.
You just throw them out, don't you? Jeremiah chapter 26, same thing here. Look. Jeremiah 26, verse 18. Micah, the Morazite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. Same thing. So he's prophesying something going to happen, isn't he? So the Lord Jesus Christ stands there and said, what did he say back here in Matthew? No stone, you know. And he, verse 2, he says about the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be be left here one stone upon one another that shall not be thrown down. Now you know what most commentaries say about this, don't you? You ever heard of something about Jerusalem AD 70 AD? You know that's era.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
JWs believe that.
Well, yeah, well, the thing is most commentaries believe that the destruction of the temple had already taken place in 70 AD. Hebrews 8:13, the writer of Hebrews, when he wrote, they're still sacrificing there. So there's three attacks on Jerusalem, and we're going to look at that in a second. They think it's because they don't understand or see this mystery program that we're in today. When Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, and then 1 year later, well, let's keep looking here because I don't want to get ahead of myself and keep repeating, but look, the destruction of the temple is future from here and will take place over here. What we read back there in Jeremiah and Hosea, it hasn't taken place yet, people. He has not mowed that, turned it in a field and turned it over. It's going to take place over there.
You mentioned Micah.
Well, we went to Micah chapter 3. You know, the thing about the study in Matthew 24, you know, you got some issues here, and you got to think about this. 70 A.D., who was in power in 70 A.D.? Anybody know their Bible history?
Rome.
But who was the emperor?
Caesar.
Titus. It was one of Caesar, okay? Titus. And Titus destroyed the temple. According to Jewish historians, there were three sieges by Titus. And finally, the third one was 115 A.D. It wasn't 70 A.D. It was 115 A.D. And the first one took place in 70 A.D. That's why they start to say, okay, 70 A.D., there was a destruction came to the temple. But there was three sieges against that, and it took another 30 or 40 years to complete it. But look, they did not throw this, let me look at these real quick. What they don't see, and I want to slow down a little bit, what people don't see when you read these commentaries in a lot of these books, that's why I don't like them. Because they're man stuff. What they didn't see is the dispensation of grace being there. And you got to think about this for a second, because the Acts period covers 33 AD. Who died in 33 AD? Okay. To 70 AD. That's the whole Acts period in your book. And if you really think about this, and it tells you, you know, it talks about Paul's epistles was written long before 70 A.D. You understand that. Okay? So Paul wrote some books to the body of Christ, Romans through Philemon here, that does not apply to this program or this program. So when you read Paul's epistles, you don't even know anything about a destruction of the temple. He talks about you're the temple. So you got to think about that. And you got to remember that the whole Bible, the whole New Testament that we have was already collated by 70 AD, if not earlier. John did not write, I know what people say, 90 AD, 70 AD, and all that stuff. John had that stuff written when Paul was writing. Paul tells us in Colossians that he's fulfilled the Word of God. The dispensation of grace, and all the people started collating all these letters together to give to the people to understand that they have a Bible, just as they did the Old Testament. And you know, you got to realize that. Don't get caught up on that 70 AD stuff, because it will fixate you like, wait a minute now, it's 70. Don't do that, because once again, I got to share this with you, the fact that the book, the Bible, is already collated and put together. That's what I'm trying to share here. So when you think about that stuff, and you think about what Paul was doing in the mystery program when he got saved, and what difference that program's... Let me slow down a minute. What do you know so far that when you come to Paul's, you know that there was a prophesied kingdom for, you know, on earth for the nation Israel, and Daniel prophesies. You know, when John the Baptist comes on the scene, he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, when he got his head cut off, Lord Jesus Christ picked that up and said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He commissioned the 12 and told the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did they do to all those people that said that? They killed them, right? And then the Lord Jesus Christ dies and buried and rose again. Then he raises up Paul the apostle that was unworthy. We talked about that, him being a blasphemer, a murderer. So of all the people in the world, he picks that guy to bring a message to the Gentiles that is, you're saved by grace plus nothing else. But that kingdom program is postponed. It was offered, I should say, it's offered in Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3, and 4, 5, 6, 7. It was offered to the nation Israel. It wasn't offered back here. It was at hand. We talk about this stuff all the time. That if you, the coffee's back there, that's at hand. But until you get up or I get up and pour it for you, it's not offered to you. And it was not offered to the nation Israel till the act period, because Jesus Christ had died and buried and rose again. But the kingdom program that they're talking about today, God has postponed that. That's what I'm trying to share with you. What do you know about Paul's epistles when it comes about a kingdom program?
It's postponed.
Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 tells you that. That he hasn't forgot about them. It's just postponed. Then we're caught out of here, the catching away, which a lot of people don't believe. But they, you know, caught away. And then he goes back and establishes that kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're studying the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as a king. And in order to be a king, you've got to have a what?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. There's no kingdom out there. The world is not a kingdom to Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see some things in a minute. It might open some people's eyes in a way that way they look at this world out there. It's not the green grass of home.
So
it's
people really don't understand what the death of Christ really was.
I'm telling you, when you study the thing out, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, had something planned way back here that's far greater than you and I can understand. And these people, as we read down through here, they understood that the temple didn't, that wasn't a building in 70 AD that got destroyed, and that's what Jesus Christ was talking about. He's talking about a future event over there. Now look at verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. You might as well get Acts chapter 1 while you're there. Acts chapter 1. Matthew 23, verse 3. Oh, 24. But the verses that we talked about in Micah and Jeremiah, that's a future, that's talking about the second coming, guys. It wasn't talking about, okay? That's where you got to remember. It wasn't 70 AD and all that things. If you look at Josephus, who he's talking about, he's a historian, wasn't he? You know, and he can tell you those things. But look at this. Verse 3. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came, Matthew 23, verse 3, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the what?
World.
Look at Acts chapter 1. You got to remember, the book of Acts covers a period between 33 AD and 63 AD. That's all it covers. So by that time, the books of the Bible was written, I believe. I don't have to speculate, I believe it. Because they used them. When Peter says over in 2 Peter, it says, the things that Paul wrote unto you was hard to understand. And how your Bible's laid out, Romans through Philemon, and then Hebrews. You got the church epistles, Hebrews through Philemon, and you got the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation. And when Peter wrote about what Paul said, how did he get that?
He read it.
And I believe when he says that, Paul didn't write the book of Hebrews, but he wrote the book of Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 to explain to that saved Israelite that was saved in that kingdom program, God hasn't forgot about you. This is what he's doing in dispensation of grace. And that's why Peter said, hey, the things that Paul wrote unto you, talking about Israel, it's hard for you to understand. Yeah, it would be hard for me to understand too if I was in this program over here and I was promised a kingdom and going in there and sitting on the throne, all of a sudden it's gone. My Messiah's gone. That would upset me too. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. You know, verse 6 says, When they therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt at this time restore again the kingdom to the body of Christ? That's one of the first questions after the Lord died and was buried and rose again, that the Israelites, a saved little flock, asked the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Just what I said. If you've been talk all your life, you're going to be sitting in the kingdom. Wouldn't that be what you want to know? You just died on me. You promised me this.
And the king is in their midst?
Yep, and look at this, verse 9. And when he spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them with white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing in the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. They return into Jerusalem from the mount called what?
Olivet,
which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day. Now back over in Matthew chapter 3. I'm at 24. There's an ascension of Christ into heaven, what we just read, correct? Mm-hmm. He ascends up. He ascends from the Mount of Olives. Where is he at in Matthew 24? Mount of Olives. So he goes up in the Mount of Olives, and they come back, and they said he's going to come back in what? Like manner. You know, Zechariah 14, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. Zechariah 14:1 says, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Verse 3 says, Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. And when he hath fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand upon that day on the Mount of Olives. So he's coming back over here the same where he went up. That mount, what do we know about a mount when Jesus Christ goes up on a mountain? What is that a portray of?
Kingdom,
isn't it? He's king, and he goes up on a mountain. He's looking over his kingdom. You got to remember back there when Satan took Lord Jesus Christ up on that pinnacle, mm-hmm. and showed him what the kingdoms of the world. It was a high place, wasn't it? He's above all. When I said on the onslaught. Chapters 24 and 25 in Matthew and Acts chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 6 are going to be hard for people to understand if they don't understand it rightly divided. It's going to be hard for you. And the disciples asked three questions there, didn't they? Go back to Matthew 24. And he answered the three questions in reverse order, by the way. You see what they ask? When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of the coming and at the end of the world? That's questions. That would be a good question. He answered in a reverse order. Verses 4 through 24 answers the end of the world. You might want to keep this in mind. When he asks about chapter 24, verses 4 to 24 is going to talk about the end of the world. Then verses 25 through 31 answers the questions about the sign of his coming. Now, we're going to run down through these, you know, not today, but as time allows us. If Lord comes quickly, we won't have to worry about it, will we? Then the verses 32 through 51, he answers the questions of when. And nowhere, I got to say this again, nowhere in this what we're going to look at does it apply 70 A.D., I got to tell you that because you know a lot of people say that, don't they? Yes, sir. And tell us when when these things be, and what sign of the coming and the end of the world. You know that expression, end of the world? We use that a lot, don't we? You know, he's in a world of his own. Look at little Eddie over here. Where's he at, you know? Well, he's out there in his own world. You know, that type of thing. And the thing is, we got, you know, we talked about that a little bit, but go to Matthew chapter 13. You have to see the parables of the tares and the wheat to understand the end of the world. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 38. Yes, sir. Now, we already looked at this a little bit, but look at this, verse 38. The field is the what?
World.
The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemies that sow them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. And the Son of Man sent forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all these offend, and them that which do iniquity. Who's going to gather them out?
The angels.
Now, wait a minute. Who are they to gather?
They're gathering
the good people or the bad people?
The enemies.
Okay, you got to keep this in mind, because when we read Matthew 24, a lot of people says the rapture of the church is found there. When we talk about one was in the field and the other one taken, mm-hmm. And we always been told that the one's taken away is going to heaven to be with Jesus, and he's coming back and riding a white horse back over here and fight for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, who's being taken away here? Look at this right here. And shall cast them into the heavenly places, mm-hmm. where they're going to roast marshmallows.
Roast the fire, make s'mores.
Yes, make s'mores and eat bratwurst.
They're going to do this.
They shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Mm-hmm. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the son of the kingdom of their fellow father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Boy, I hear. I was steered in error before, knowing that, hey, I'm going to be taken away. But when we get there, this is going to make sense for you. But look at this. When is the end of the world in the passage? Is it talking about this green, green grass of home? It's going to happen. You know, they're going to have a kingdom afterwards. The ones that are taken out of there in that passage, guess who gets to stay? They're going to be a kingdom, so it has nothing to do with this world that you're on, this earth. It's got to do with a system, a religious system, a world system. And as you line yourself in that type of thinking, Satan in Ezekiel, he was a merchant, and he merchandised things. He's a seller. He'll sell you religion. That sends most people straight to hell. We saw that last week, and it just blew my mind as these people that Jesus Christ looked at those leaders of Israel that's supposed to have been doing right in the kingdom program, and they was said that he said you compass the sea and land to make a proselyte. And he made them twofold the children of hell. Whoa.
2 times better.
You know, think about that. They're sending missionaries out, and they're proselyting people. Supposedly get them saved in a program or system, and God said they're making them twofold the children of hell. Man, that scares me, knowing that stuff's going on today. Ooh, I clear my eyes a little bit. You know, when you talk about the world in the present days and the world described in that type of thing, it was a bad time in the world, wasn't it? But the green, green grass is still here. And Paul in 1 Galatians chapter 1, You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to share this with you. Galatians chapter 1 describes, Paul talks about this present evil world. And we did a conference there not too long ago, and that was one of our theme verse. And sometimes we use the word age. We talk about industrial age, iron age, that type of thing, don't we? Computer age, that type of thing. It's a kind of a word that you use. World, age. And the end of the world, or the end of the age in Matthew 13, is the end of that tribulation period. You with me? That's when that stuff's going to take place over there. And it's at the end of the present evil world of God's... Who's the God of the world? That's the end of his system over there. And Paul talks about this present evil world. That's why he talks about be not conformed to this world. It's not that I like to truck drive. You know what I'm talking about? It's not that I, want to eat rabbit foods. It's not what I want to eat, drink water all the time. I like bread, but I can't have bread. You know what I mean? It's not that type of world. And by the way, if it was that type of world, who makes it horrible? I do. You do. But you don't conform to the world. Paul is saying, in fact, that there's a system out there that he don't want you to be a part of. And I'm sorry to say, there's a lot of systems out there. And we can call them systems, you can call them religious things, whatever you want. I'm not promoting my church, don't get me wrong. I want you to understand this Bible, the way God has laid it out there. And once you do, it's your responsibility to stand up and say, this is right and this wrong. And when you do stand up for the truth, don't do it because little Walt's there. You do it because it's right. And then when you turn around, he's there with you. You with me? Mm-hmm. You stand for truth. Revelation 11:15 says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and his Christ shall reign forever and ever. The kingdoms of the worlds. That's systems. God so loved the world. And we talk about, oh, he loved this green, green grass. He loved his system. He created identity. He created the only religious system ever was, and they added a law to it. He loved it so much that he died for it. And whoever got into it, he died for you. You see some differences in the world now? And at the end of the world comes the end of the tribulation, the end of the 70th week of Daniel, when Christ takes up the reins and becomes king over the universe, and that's his rightful right. He's over. How many times have we looked at verses about powers and principalities and mights in Paul's epistles? There's a governmental system. That's what he controls. Right now, Satan's God. He's a god of this world. He's prince power of the air. He's controlling things. And he's got ministers out there. He's got his ministers. Same Lord Jesus Christ got his ministers.
Lost angels.
Yeah. And when it's all said and done, God, the whole theme of your whole Bible, you got to remember this, is about authority over a throne over the universe. Mm-hmm. You got Satan wanting it, and you got the Lord Jesus Christ wanting it. Well, he gets it. But Satan is such in denial that he's promoting other Bibles. I'll share that with you. He's promoting other systems. He keeps this system away from you. That Satan hates this message of grace today. As soon as Paul started the Galatians church, he said, you're saved by grace, and if you continue to work, right?
No.
You're saved by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. Works has nothing to do with it. And he established those churches in Galatia. He said, listen, you trust Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again. You're saved, you're sealed, you're sanctified. He takes your spirit, he baptizes it into Jesus Christ. And he circumcises you and you place it in heavenly places. That's great news, isn't it?
What if you get a wrong message in grace?
But Satan don't like that. So Satan says, hey, he comes in right afterwards. I won't say Satan, but they call them Judaizers. They saw Paul meeting over there and spied out his privy with them people over there. Paul didn't do this. He didn't let that bother him 1 minute, for an hour.
He continued
to preach and to tell the Peter, James, and John that what God is doing today, it's not that Israel system, that Jewish religious system. It's a different system. It's the body of Christ. It's not a kingdom church. It's the body of Christ, a church. There's three churches in your Bible. There's a church in the wilderness that started with Moses. It became so apostate that they didn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to be their king. Then you talk about a church of Pentecost. Start right here. John the Baptist, that's created a kingdom church to sit right over here. Then you've got the church, the body of Christ. And when Paul established that church in Galatians, those Judaizers came in there and said, it's okay that you trust Christ died for your sin and buried rose. But you're going to be circumcised. Whoa. Guess what they just did? They added to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's when Paul went there in Galatians chapter, or Acts chapter 15. And these Judaizers, these people, that they didn't know anything else. And Satan used them. They went up to him and said, except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. That's what they added to that up here. Now, circumcision never did save you. But Acts chapter 15 says it did. And Paul says, no. He stood Peter to face. Now, some of you won't stand people to face when you talk about the scriptures. You know, we want to be meek and mild. I've learned my lesson over the years. But the thing is, what did they do? They added to the cross. Now, you can take circumcise and add anything you want to put in place of that. It's a system, and they add it to that. We're ready to finish up here in a second. You got to think about that. You got to think about that world system. So when it's a system, and it's not a bad system what God's doing today, but people perverts it, don't they? Mm-hmm. They add to. Paul says, be not conformed to this world. James chapter 4 tells them that friendship with the world is enemy against God. Friendship with the world is enemy against God. Now, would that be that world out there?
Religious system.
It's a system. You with me on that? That clears up a lot of things when you look at that. Mm-hmm. And you say, whoa, it is a world of its own. It's an identity. So in chapter 24, verse 3, you don't have to be troubled with the end of the world. You with me? And he's not talking about going to burn up the planet. He's talking about the time that the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. That's what the Lord is telling them. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. That's why he's going to answer the first question about the end of the world. Tell us when these things will be. You find that in Matthew 24, verses 32 through 51. That's a lot of verses, but we'll get to that in a little while. That's when these things going to be, Lord. You find that in verse 32 through 51. Then he says, when shall be the sign of their coming? You find that in same chapter, verses 25 through 31. And that, when we get there, we'll expound on them a little more. And then when will the world be, end of the world be? It's verse 4 through 24. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us freely through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, what a blessing it is to have your word and knowing that you came. The living word became the written word, and we have it in our possession. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, that he came to this earth and died and was buried and rose again for our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.